Okay, we are on the last amud of the first parak. Tesvav amud aleph. Towards the top, we have the words Amar Reva. Amar Reva. Fourth line. Beginning of the fourth line. Amar Reva. Hani tsrare dipshite. These clothings that are
coin bags.
Tsrare dipshite. Tsrare. Tsrare is an interesting word. Okay. Tsrare dipshite. Ein behem mishum kilayim. There's no such thing as kilayim for them, or a problem of kilayim. Presumably because you're not wearing them in the same conventional way. They don't warm the body.
Do they have pockets? If today we wouldn't put it in our pocket.
Yeah, I know. Tibizrane, I assume it's like a wallet or something. Tibizrane, the clothing which is made for seas, yesh ben mishum kilayim. That does have a problem because that does apparently, because I guess the contents of it aren't as hard or as uncomfortable maybe. So then the bag itself is actually helpful for keeping you warm. I don't know exactly how you wear it, but both, neither of them are a problem with kilayim, and you'll have to put them inside your coat or whatever. It's not a way people usually get warm. I mean, it's true, it might cause warmth, but it's not what people would do. And because it's abnormal, it's not considered the real thing. Okay, we had talked about not wearing, spiked sandal, is that what this was?
Yeah.
Sandal Mesumar. So sandal Mesumar my time, lo mishum masa shahaya. Why is it that we said you're not allowed to send it to other people? Not because of that story. My time alone, mishum ma'asa shehaya. I punctuated wrong. Why can't you? Because of that story. What was the story? If you remember, this was, this was the story of the cave. Was that the story of the cave where he didn't know who was?
Yeah, they trampled over some of each other with their spikes.
Oh, was it a trampling issue? Yeah, or someone thought he was being attacked.
They thought that the robber almost discovered him.
But it was really other Jews.
I don't remember that.
I think that was the case, though. No? I don't have a note there.
It says, incidents described in the Shabbos, a group of Jews had hidden themselves in a cave to escape religious persecution. According to one version of the story, they were discovered by the enemy. In a panic, many of the inhabitants were killed by the sharp spikes.
So it was a panic, okay. Could have been other explanations of it, but okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Sandal Mesumar Aslan Alo, you're not allowed to put it on Yantif. But you could move it. Okay, why? Aslan Alo Mishum Masa Shahaya. We don't want something else like that to happen. But Mutulatalo, you're allowed to move it. Midikatani, Ein Mishachin, you're not allowed to send it. If you're not allowed to move the shoe, would anyone ever think you could send it? So why would the Mishnah have to tell us you're not allowed to send shoes? What do you mean? It's like saying you're not allowed to gift someone your computer on Shabbos. I can't touch my computer on Shabbos. Why would I ever gift it to somebody? So the fact that it's telling me that you can't send these shoes as gifts means it must be that I can move it. Now that doesn't explain the svara. That explains how we know what the halacha is. That doesn't really explain why that would be the case logically. Maybe it's klisha malach to l'isra type of thing, where you can move it for other purposes, but practically you're not allowed to move it unless you need to. Okay. So the Gemara continues, V'lominal she'eno tafor. You can't send a shoe which is unstitched.
Unsewn.
So pshita, lo nitsch, pshita, of course you can't. You're not able to use that. So why would you ever send it to somebody? So yeah, what kind of gift giver are you? Here's some shoes. You have to go find a tailor or a shoemaker and fix them. Now it's talking about a situation where even if the shoe was fine, all sort of connected properly, but and you'd be technically able to wear it, because it's not fully finished, so then it's not good enough. I don't exactly know. You'd have to know, you know, the physical reality here, but I assume somehow that it's a shoe that could be worn, but it has some kind of risk that it's going to fall apart. It's not completely sewn together properly.
They mentioned wooden pegs.
Yeah, something about, I got wooden pegs here also. I'm not really sure how that works.
Must be a shoe museum. way back.
Maybe. Wooden pegs in your shoe. I can't imagine that's helpful. But okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af lo min alavan. Not even a white shoe. A white shoe basically means unfinished because you have to color it. Nowadays, white shoes are very popular.
I was going to say, I guess in those days they didn't wear white shoes.
Yeah, I don't know. So Tanya, the Bryce is Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Beshachor, but also Belavan. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to gift a colored black shoe to people I got this,
but not a white one.
I don't know why. I guess he doesn't really have to say Matir B'Shachor. He could have just said Asur B'Lavan. We wouldn't know. Mivnei Shetzarech Bitzas Hagir. Some kind of blackening. I don't know what it is.
Dirt.
I have dirt also. It's got to be some kind of better name for it.
He says yes.
Like a polish or something.
Clump of dirt which contains a blackening agent.
Right.
If you make compost, it turns things black. It's after it's fermented, it has special, I don't know what it is.
Okay. Rabbi Yossi Oser B'Shachor. Rabbi Yossi says even a black one's no good. Because you have to treat it with some kind of leveling agent or something. I don't know.
Smoothing it out.
I don't know. Well, I guess because if you're using dirt, you have to actually. Really, you can't just put dirt on it and say, call it a day. People would wear their shoes if they were already blackened but not smoothened in the town of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it would be okay to send the shoe like that. But according to Rabbi Yossi, presumably, where he lived, people didn't use it like that. Uba Asre Demar Bisra Lasachas. What does that mean? That the meat of your foot, meaning the bottom?
He says the side of the hide that was attached to the flesh.
Meaning of the hide. Thinking of their foot.
Right. The therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's, the side that's attached to the flesh has to be smoothed if it's showing. So in Rabbi Yehuda's region, this side of the hide was turned to the inside of the shoe, so you didn't have to smooth it, because who cared how the inside of the shoe looked? While the side of the skin, the other side faced outward, and that side didn't require smoothing. And shoes were made differently in the two places, apparently.
Hold on. The fleshy side of the leather was on the inside. I'm just obviously thinking about our tefillin. The smoother side, meaning the outside of the leather, was on the outside of the shoe and therefore required less smoothening. Whereas the rougher side, right, what we would call the inside of our tefillin straps, was towards the body, right, towards the foot. So that doesn't require as much smoothening because it's not going to make a difference in terms of what it looks like.
See, I think you'd be more concerned about the rough side being by your foot.
Even suede is smooth. They don't come that way.
Yeah. Okay. Either way, so it depends on how they would wear the shoe, which is what can determine whether you have to smoothen it already before you wear it. Zeklal, the Mishnah had finished off Kol Shnei Osin Bo B'Yom Tov. You're allowed to wear, or you're allowed to send it away to people. Anything you could basically you can benefit from. Like I have in parentheses here, you can adorn yourself, miskashtim. What do you have for the translating Neosin?
He just says whatever may be used on Yom
Tov. Yeah, I don't know if my Gemara keeps talking about like beautification for some reason.
Lehitnaot,
it doesn't mean just hana'a. It means beautification, like zekeli van vehu, that kind of na'a. Okay, let's see what the Gemara says. Rav Yeshes Shara Lehul Rabbanan Leshaduri Tefillin Biyomatava. Okay, Rav Yeshes say they could put on tefillin.
You can send
tefillin, presumably because you could wear it. No. Amalei Abaye B'ha'an Antanan Kol Shene Osin Bo Biyom to Meshalchen Oso. Anything that you can use, and this you're not going to benefit from it. That's a very different statement. Anything that you would typically use on a weekday would be something you could send on Yom Tov.
So anything that's ready to use,
and that's kind of fun.
What? It's very makil, you're saying?
It's not a fun. I mean, I have
that. Yeah. I don't exactly know how that applies, but just because you can benefit from it on your weekday, it doesn't mean you can send it on Yom Tov. I mean, that's
right.
That's a far-reaching claim. A lot of commentary on this. The Beis Yosef says the only time you'd be allowed to send it if the other person can have some kind of Simchas Yom Tov from it. That's what it means.
Right after Yom Tov, you won't have to fill in the next morning.
Well, you can't do something on Yom Tov to prepare for the next day.
That's true. But then it's really hard to...
There's an interesting note here from the Beis Yosef also that says, "Kein davar she'en ne'osin bo k'mos shehu." If there's something which is unfinished, al-rak l'achmar tikkun shemutal asos b'yom tov, but the person that gets it is going to have to fix it in some way, as long as that fixing is okay on Yom Tov, so yesh bo simchas yom tov l'mekabel, that's okay. You're allowed to send that, even though it's not complete. Oh, there it is. I was waiting for this kind of svara. So the Beis Yosef says, even if it requires what we call hotzah, right? The Mishnah had started off by talking about things that are required on Yom Tov. It's like but once they're required, so then you can not violate hotzah, but you can justify the hotzah. So he says, "V'af shelo hutra hotzah mishas rishas b'yom tov elim kein hi l'tzorch yom tov." Even though we only said you're allowed to do it if it's for a good reason, for a purpose that's necessary on Yom Tov, where we talked about the Sefer Torah and the child, etc. So then, hotzah zu nechsheves l'tzorch yom tov. This hotzah is considered necessary for Yom Tov. Miye mibnei sheyesh l'mekabel simchas yom tov al yado. As long as the person would enjoy it, that's considered a tzorach. Right? It's not necessarily. It doesn't mean something that's a mitzvah necessarily. It means something that someone would enjoy. Interesting. So it's all subjective. It sounds like it's a subjective point.
But we had the discussion in Shabbos also about whether or not you could put on tefillin on Shabbos to save them from a fire, you could carry them out into Rosh
Hashanah. Those were literally things that were necessary. Mm-hmm. Right?
There's a Yom Tov you could wear at home if you cover it up or something.
I mean, it could be that in that case you can save the tefillin too. That's because it's going to get ruined.
So no, but I'm talking about carrying it out into Rosh Hasharabim. They said you could wear it because it's considered wearing. So perhaps here, if you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos...
This seems to be even more makel, which is that you could benefit from it anyway. Shabbos, the reason is because it's not considered hotzah. Over here, it's because we can override hotzah. We can carry it also.
Why can't you get a computer?
So that's what type of thing. You presumably you couldn't benefit from it on Yom Tov. Maybe it would bring symbols out that you got the gift. I don't know. All right, what about Amar Abaye? We said Hachikam already?
Amar Abaye.
Yeah, we said that.
Okay.
So Amar Abaye.
Amar Abaye, Tefillin Hol V'Aslu Yada Ne'evu Milsa. Once it came to our hands, meaning to deal with it, so let's talk about it. Haya ba bederach v'tulin berosho. You're walking on the way and you have tulin on your head. I don't know exactly if you're, that means just generally you're wearing your tulin. V'shekel l'chama meniach edo aleim ad shvegi l'veis. So you should put your hand on them. This is by Shabbos. Put your hand on them to cover them until you get to your house. Hayosh v'veis ha'medrash v'tulin berosho v'karash l'hayom meniach edo aleim ad shvegi l'veis. So same thing. Okay, Mesiv Rav Huna Brei Ravika, Haya Baba Derech Tefillin Bishop Berosh, Shavakai Shalav Hayom, Maniach Yadu Aleim, Yashmigil Levayas, Sasamach Lachoma. It doesn't mean you get to your own house, it gets to get to a house where you can shelter it and not walk any further. This might be a Hotza issue also. So Hayoshev Vesamedrish, Yakai Shalav Kiddish Shalom Hayom, Maniach Yadu Aleim, Yashmigil Levayas, Sasamach Vesamedrish. Right, so until you get to the closest house, that's where you should take it off, but you shouldn't walk around with it unnecessarily. Because first of all, you're going to be taking it from Rishus to Rishus, and that's a problem. Or you're taking it within Rishus or Abin Por Amos, which could be a problem if you're not supposed to be carrying it or wearing it. But rather, you should just wait until the first house. But that's against Abaye, who sounded like he said you could take it all the way to your house, not to the first house. So look, Asha ha de mintera ha de lo mintera. One is when the tefillin is able to be... is only able to be held in that house, and that's what's going to prevent it from being disgraced. Mintura. I mean, it could be held in that house. It could be secured. How do you translate mintura?
Secured,
right. Yeah, secured. It's going to be protected in some way. So hazal mintura. But if the house, which is right next to the base register, the house that's within the city walls, is not a place that you feel is secure and safe, so then you know it's so much as Eid Lomintera. So my area Barosha, if it's a place which is not going to be protected, it doesn't matter if it's in your on your head. I feel machtan ba'aranami. Even if you found them on the ground,
that's you should be able to put them on and carry it.
Right,
them.
As we talked about this, in Erev in Tzatz 9, Hamotzi Tefillin Machnis and Zugzug. If you find tefillin, a bunch of tefillin, you can put them on a pair at a time. It was a loch kasha. Ha, dementera machmas ganvi u machmas kalvi. One, where we said that you're allowed to take it off, you would have to take it off in the first place you come to. That's if you're worried about thieves and dogs. I don't know what a dog would be interested in tefillin, but okay. Ha, dementera machmas kalvi u lo mintera. Machmas ganave. This where the tefillin could be protected there. Hold on.
Dogs, make on things. This mark.
Okay.
You don't want that to happen.
Okay, I hear you. So here in the other case where it says that you can go all the way to your own house, that's where it's only going to be protected from dogs, but not from thieves. Okay, you're allowed to pick that up off the ground. I guess that doesn't matter. Okay, so and therefore, he only talked about it when it was on your head, but when it comes to when it's on the ground, so you shouldn't touch it. Right, so if it's protected from dogs, but not from thieves, so then we're not allowing you to pick it up off the ground. Is that what we're saying?
That's what it sounds like, because otherwise, we're just drawing a distinction between
that. According to Rashi, that's the case of Abaye, right? If it's protected from dogs, but not from thieves. Then you can bring it all the way home.
Yeah, but that's when it's the Abaye case is when it's already on your head, right? Right now, we're trying to deal with why can't you also take it off the ground. So apparently in that case, you would not be allowed to do that if it was on the ground. So Mali de Tema, what you have thought? Rov listim Yisrael ninhu, v'lo mizalzul behu. That you would think that most thieves in a Jewish neighborhood would be Jewish. And therefore, they wouldn't do anything to your tefillin if they see you wearing tefillin or taking it off in a different place, putting it in a different house. Kamash Malan, you can take it all the way. But why aren't we worried about the same thing when it's on the ground? I don't get it. What's the svar here?
They're righteous
Righteous thieves, from thieves.
They see a dump spilled on the ground, they're not going to desecrate it either.
You have that in a note, you're saying.
Yeah, I think it's right there in the... These are thieves are in the area are Jews who do not desecrate tefillin. So you can leave them in the house.
But that's the Havamina, I mean, and it gets rejected.
That's why you're allowed to bring it home. The question is, Rashi says the last line, "Aval im matzan shem b'makom shehein nishmarin min haklav v'lo yizizim b'mkoman." Rashi says that we're not worried about thieves when it's out in the field.
Yeah, so he's protecting the house, not the field. Right.
I don't understand 100%. The Ritva says here in a note apparently that nowadays we're not this brazen to assume that the thieves are so righteous.
Yeah.
And you should always take it home. Right? Any place which is not safe from thieves is considered like a place that's not safe from dogs also. And even if you find tefillin on the floor somewhere, you bring them to your house. Some disagree. Hadron Alach Veitza. The first parak, not the Masepta.
Why would a non-Jewish thief steal tefillin?
My father got his tefillin stolen. Found him in like a pawn shop a couple weeks later. I don't know. I guess if you see like a velvet bag, you're like, oh, this must be important, right? No one keeps like garbage in velvet bags. So I don't know. Yeah, it's, these things do happen though. It's weird.
Yeah, you don't have it on my son. Just never end that.
I think the larger concern is, let's say a thief grabs a whole bunch of items,
right,
not knowing.
And your tefillin's in there or whatever.
If it's a Jew, they're going to go, oh, okay, this is...
Oh, yeah, exactly.
They'll just throw them in the ground.
Like the money bags we talked about last week. I'm not going to take the 200, I'll take 100. This guy needs some food to eat, right?
It's also strange to me that, it appears that obviously the Beis Medrash was not a safe place to leave your tefillin.
Right, that's also weird, yeah.
Because it said if you're in the Beis Medrash,
right, yeah.
You can take them yeah, home or at least take them to the nearest house.
Yeah. All right, let's get a chunk done out of Test 12 and Beis.
Sorry. I'm up.
Mishnah says, Yom Tov Shechal Yos Be'erev Shabbos, this is all about Erev Tevshilin. Yom Tov Shechal Yos Be'erev Shabbos, Lo Yivashel Be'etchilim Yom Tov L'Shabbos, Avam Vashel Yom Tov. But a person who Yantif falls out on Friday, so you're not allowed to cook for Shabbos, Mechadchila, if it's only for Shabbos. But you could cook for Yantif, V'im Hosir, Hosir L'Shabbos, you could use extras for Shabbos. Osa Tavshel Me'erev Yomtev, Somech Lev L'Shabbos, you make some kind of dish before Yantif starts, and you can basically use that dish as if it's also for the sake of Shabbos, for the sake of cooking on Shabbos. So we'll talk in the Gemara how that works. Beis Shammai Omer Shnei Tavshilin. Beis Shammai says you have to have two separate cooked dishes. Beis Hillel Omer Tavshil Echad. Beis Hillel says only one. I think we're passing like Beis Shammai on this. All right, we have two things, right? We have two things, not necessarily cooked, though. Beis Shammai B'dag L'Beitzah She'alav, that a fish with an egg on it is Shehen Shnei Tavshilin, that it's considered two things.
So that's very strange. Why do you need Hillel to say
that? Right, Hillel wouldn't presumably need that.
And then it's one.
Yeah, we'll see. The Gemara probably says it.
I was thinking about the Eruv. It has like one... Like,
well, that's a separate thing. We talked about
that. It's a whole
separate
thing, but it can have food for Shabbos.
Yeah. Achlo osha avad. If you ate it or you lost it, lo yivashel b'tchila b'Shabbos. Right? That you shouldn't... if you lost that food that you prepared from before Yantif for the sake of cooking on Yantif for Shabbos, so then you're not allowed to cook for Shabbos. If im shayar mimenu koshu, if some of it's still there, somech lov l'Shabbos, you're allowed to continue doing it for Shabbos. So minah hanimili, how do we know this halacha that you can do an erev tavshilin? And if you don't, you're not allowed to. So amar shmuel, amar kras, zechoras yam Shabbos l'kacho, zachreyu me'acher. Remember it on a day that you presumably could forget it. Which is, I guess, when you're busy with Yantif before. So my taima, what's the reason for the takana? So it's a very interesting phrase because we just gave a reason for it. We just gave a source from a pasuk. So my taima, how do we know that, I guess, the Erev Tavshilin works? not necessarily that you need to do something. Right, you're basically saying, well, this is for Shabbos, this is for Yantif, this is for Shabbos. You're basically already preparing for Shabbos from before Yantif. So the people make a distinction between preparing Yantif to Shabbos. Because if you could just say, oh, you can prepare for whatever you want, so then people will start to do that even on Yantif for Shabbos, even though we don't want people to do that generally. All the more so, we don't want people preparing on Yantif for a weekday. So we have this special thing called the Erev Tev Shilin that people remember, so that lest they come to do it in other ways also, meaning for a weekday. So Tanan Adam Osta Tav Shilmi Erev Yom Tov V'Somech Lov L'Shabbos. Right, as I said, Bishlam Alei Rav Ashi Tamar K'dei Shiyom Reino Fem Yom Tov L'Shabbos Erev Yom Tov In B'Yom Tov Lo. If the whole purpose is so that people remember that you're only allowed to cook on Yantif for Shabbos, that's why it means if you'd made it on Erev Yantif, that works. But on Yantif itself, you're not allowed to do such a thing. El Rava, my Erev Erev Yantif, feel Yantif Nami. According to Rava, who said the reason is so that people can distinguish between the food they're making for Shabbos and the food they're making for Yantif. So then, why does it say specifically you have to do it on Erev Yantif? So the Gemara says, Enachanami El Gazer Shami Yipasha. That it's true, technically you could do it on Yantif itself, but we made a separate gezeira that we're worried you're going to forget, and therefore you have to do it before Yantif starts, before you get all busy with your Yantif stuff. So Gemara says, V'tana ma'isi lai mahacha. The Tana learned it out from here. A different Tana learned it out from a different place. Meaning there is one opinion that we said before that it's based on Zachor Hashem Shabbos Lekadsho. I think that's what it's referring to. But there's another way to say it. The pasuk tells us by the man in Bishalach, I assume, Eis Asher Tofu Efu V'Eis Asher Tevashlu Bashelu. That which you bake, you baked. That which you cooked, you cooked. Okay, I mean, it's got to be from beforehand, I guess. You can't bake unless you've already baked, meaning it's an addition to, and you can't cook unless you already cooked. Wow, interesting phrasing. That this is pasuk, he darshins this pasuk to teach you that Erev Tev Shilin is midaraisa. We do not pass like that. Tana Rabbanu Master Rabbi Elias Shayoshev Dosh Kalim Kula Bilchson Tiyotzabach Kasvishona Amar. Halalu Bali Pitasin. Right, he was darshning in Yantif. Have we seen this already or no? We were darshning in I don't think so. It's just a well-known story. He was darshning by the halachos, and then some people had left because they had to go and eat their meal. So what does he call them? He calls them, they're people of big barrels. Is that what you have?
Mm-hmm. Owners of barrels.
Because they've got so much food that they have to prepare. Meaning they're gluttonous a little bit. Kas Shnia, the second group goes out. Amar Halalu Bali Chavios. They also have barrels, not as big barrels. They don't need as much time to prepare, but they're still going to eat. Kas Shlisha Amar Halalu Bali Kadin. The last group or the third group, these people have the good amount of stuff. Kas Revius Amar Halalu Bali Laginin. These people are. Bali Laginin? How do you translate that?
This is flasks.
Flask people, right? They have even less food. Kaskamish Amar Halal Bali Kosos, they just have a cup worth. Therefore, they have less to prepare for. He's Chilu Kaskishis Latzes Amar Halal Bali Me'era. These last people, they're cursed, right? Because they don't have any food. Meaning, I think he was like saying you shouldn't be leaving. You have nothing to go home to. Is that what he's saying?
Torah is important.
Rashi gives a slightly different. He's basically cursing them. Shea bid midrash. Yeah, that's how it's the.
Yeah. The narrow lines of the like, what are you going home to? You don't have any. You don't have any food or drink to prepare. You're just leaving Shear. So it's not good enough reason. Nasan ena v'talmidim v'hischilu p'nei mishtanim. He looked at them and he saw that their faces were changing. meaning they were, I assume they were afraid or maybe embarrassed.
Yeah, pale is the translation.
So, Amar Lehem, Vanai, Lola, Chemani, Omer, El, Halal, Shiatsu, Shaminichai, Olam, Vos, Chaisha. I'm not really upset at you, I'm upset at the people before that left for the sake of Olam Hazat to eat and drink, as opposed to learning. B'shas p'tirasu namar lahem, when he left, he said, L'chu yachlu mishma'anim ha-shisum amtak, yishil chmanos la'im t'nachon, lo ki karash hayom la'adonenu v'yal t'yatsvu, ki chedvas Hashem hima uzchem. This is, I think did we quote this on Rosh Hashanah? I think it's a pasuk from Rosh Hashanah. That you should go and enjoy, pasuk in Nechemya. Go enjoy your yantif meal. That's what he was telling them. But I don't have tainas on you, I have tainas on the people that left already. So Amar Mar, Shaminichai Olam Ozbu Chai Sheva, Hasim Chas Yom Tum Mitzvahi. What do you mean? They left Shir and they're involving themselves in pointless things? It's a mitzvah to eat on Yantif. Rabbi Yozer Ta'amei, to Amar Sim Chas Yom Tov Rishos, famous Gemara, to Tanya Rabbi Yozer, Amar Ein La'ol Adam Yom Tov, Ela O'a Chol Shos Oyosh Vishona. Right, there are two different Atzeres Te'el Hachem, or Atzeres Te'el Hashem Lekech. Rabbi Yozer is of the opinion that you take one, you leave the other. Which one are you going to do? You're going to take the one that's Atzeres Hashem Lekech. That the Yantif is for the sake of Hashem, not for yourself. It's famous Gemara in Psachim Daf, in the Samech Ches, if I remember. The Tanya, so Oyesh Rishon Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Chalkei Chetzel Hashem, Vechetzel Lachem, which is how we paskin. You split the day. Sometimes you daven, sometimes you learn, sometimes you eat and rest. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnei Mikra Echad Arshad, the Apostle, I didn't know it was coming. Kasav Echad Omer, Atzeres Lachem, Akechab, Vechetzel Echad Omer, Atzeres Yelachem. HaKetzar, which one should it be? Should it be for Hashem or should it be for you? Interestingly, he's referring to separate holidays, but not for now. HaKetzar, Rabbi Elazar Savar, O Kul Hashem, O Kul Lachem. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Chesel Hashem, Chesel Lachem. And therefore, he says they should have stuck around because he thinks that they shouldn't go home and eat. Should we pick it up there? So, yeah, let's pick it up there. Okay, Shkayach.
So why does Rabbi Elazar at the end when he's meeting leave,
he tells them to go eat. I guess he's saying to them, don't worry, this is only my own mishigas. I pask and you should stay. But for you, we pask and chasil Hashem, chasil Lachem, you can go home and eat.